Let's get out to the Band of Brothers hotline and bring in our special guest from the Deseret News, Dick Harmon. How you doing, Dick?
Doing good, Ben. Just landed in Houston, driving through the wonderful city of Houston. See my granddaughter for the first time, so I'm excited to be here.
Congratulations. We need as many Harmons in this world as possible.
Dick, yes, how many is that for you?
This is 7. I had a daughter have twins in August, so I'm starting to multiply a little bit. And all of them are cute, all of them are smart, and exceptional.
Will you be teaching them the wonderful game of golf as they grow older?
Oh, they already hit buckets of balls. They go to the driving range. They go out and play with me this summer. I got some little Nike clubs for my grandson. He's 10, and we'll be out there hitting him.
Whenever you want a free bucket of balls, you come by and see me, Dick, here at Thanksgiving Point.
Okay. All right, will do. Thanks.
No problem. Hey,
do you know who you're talking to right now?
I guess, Dick probably
gets
free golf
everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking there.
He just shows up. They hand him the golf cart keys. They give him one. They ask, what do you want to drink? They probably
they give
already
him a couple
know.
Kisses on the cheek, you know, kind of mafia
they hand
style.
Him a sleeve of Nikes or whatever it is that he likes to play with, and they send him off.
Man, I had no idea.
Hi, Jan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really good.
Dick, we're in the midst of spring ball right now. You just came out with a nice article highlighting both Taysom Hill and Christian Stewart. Have you ever seen anything like this, a former quarterback coming back and contributing at a level that he is right now in Christian Stewart?
I have not. I was a Christian Stewart fan in his high school and when he was at Snow College, when he was a walk-on at BYU. In my wildest dreams and in my old age, I never imagined that I would see a guy give so much to a school that at times had not had a scholarship for him. This kid is unbelievable what he's doing. I walked into practice Monday, and I immediately saw Taysom Hill firing the ball, looking good, looking very confident and in control of that offense. And then they went to 11-11, kind of a scrimmage situation, and I saw Christian Stewart out there flinging the ball around, getting after guys that were running the wrong mat. You know, he was fired up. He was passionate, and he was giving the defense every kind of look that he could give. He was throwing touchdown passes. He was making plays. And I'm saying, what in the world is going on with this kid? And then I talked to him afterwards, and he said, I missed two classes to go to practice this morning. And these were not just regular classes. These were big-time finance classes. One is strategy and another than finance. He's missing the classes to go out there and for what? Just to help out. I'm very impressed, kid.
Still boggles my mind that he's not looking, at least just for the sake of not having any sort of regret, any remorse for not giving it his all and trying out for the pros. Because, I mean, he's there during pro day. He threw at Utah State. He can really spin the rock. I mean, he does a great job of being a quarterback, and the numbers show it. But are you surprised at all that he's not pursuing the NFL and or CFL in a professional career in football?
No, I am in a way, but in a way, it's not the money thing for him. He plays because he has a passion for the game, and he's the best, maybe the best touch passer I've seen at BYU since Max Hall. He's that good. And in a way, I'm surprised that he wouldn't try to make the most of that and see where it would take him. But on the other hand, he has friends in high places that are looking for him to become an investment banker and make a lot of money in that way. He's got his mission president is in an associate dean at BYU in the business school. He's got him in his corner. He's got a former baseball player that's already hired him to come into their firm and work while he gets his master's degree. He can make a lot of money in that business, kind of like Randy Reed did with Goldman Sachs or whatever it is. And, you know, he's got a mind on him. He's very smart. He's been talented. I don't know that he wants to go ahead and get his brain cells bruised like a lot of people are doing. Now, we just saw last week, was it the guy from Wisconsin that's now an NFL linebacker?
Chris Borland.
Chris Borland giving it up after one season. just saying, I don't want my brain hurt. So in a way, he's smart, but in a way, yeah, I am surprised that he's not taking it up on him. But, you know, he's getting married. He wants to get on with his life. Football has been a good ride for him. This season that he just finished was very special for him. It's too bad he didn't win a ball game. He was within a pass of maybe doing so, but that's Christian. He's just going at everything 110 miles an hour with everything he has, and now graduate school and maybe getting into the business world or something. He's got his focus on it. I can't fault him for that if that's what he wants to do.
I'm glad you bring those things up, though, Dick, because I actually ran into Christian today and was talking to him about some of those things. I don't think it gets highlighted enough that football is just one of the – probably not the most impressive thing about that young man. He's a great guy doing great things, and there's a lot bigger things out there for him. I think it's pretty cool that you point those things out. So, Dick, you've been around spring ball quite a bit. How many is this for you, by the way? How many spring balls have you been around in your time?
I think this is probably my 40th or 41st.
Wow.
Of watching it as a professional.
The reason that I want you to point that out is I think because of all of that experience, you get a very good feel for how a team looks, for how coaches are talking, what the attitude of a team, whether they're worried, whether they're confident going into fall. What's kind of the sense that you get from this BYU coaching staff and this team as they've gone through spring ball and where the kind of things that you're picking up on the direction that they're moving?
You know, that's a great question, Jan, and every season is different. I think the last three seasons, spring practice has been more of an exercise of teaching and a little bit of competition, but spring practices where the team has been a little bit shorthanded in certain positions like the offensive line. This year, the offensive line and quarterback. Defense, they got some linebackers out, corners out. So in a way, you look at it and you're not seeing the whole package that's going to be there in fall. So when you approach it as an observer, you got to take into account that you're not seeing the team that you're going to see out there. And so with that understanding, you look at things differently. You look at individual players. You look at performances. You look at the packages that are put in, personnel groups that are working. And offensively, it seems like my eyes always draw to that more than the defense. And I'm sorry because both of you guys are defensive players, and sometimes you get shortchanged that way. But the offense is the one that rings the bells. And in this particular spring, I've seen BYU's offensive staff put in a lot of things and put in a lot of formations and personnel groups that we haven't seen before. And I see a receiver core that is so excited about that and so excited to see the progress of Taysom Hill that they are just bursting with pride and anticipation of this season. They really believe in their hearts, and I don't know if they will do it, but they believe in their hearts they will be able to move the ball on anybody, and they're going to be a threat to win, you know, and challenge in every game that they play. And because that is so observant and so evident with this group, you think that there's going to be hope for the rest of the team in getting some things done. Second thing I noticed is that this team over the last while has had some boneheads. They've had some guys that are dillards, some gomers that get in trouble, that break the rules, that just thumb their nose at things. And, you know, I sense in this group that they're tired of that, and they're sick of that, and they're saying to each other, no more of that crap. Let's grow up and do what we said that we're going to do. Now, season after season, you got boneheads that make mistakes and do dumb things. And you probably will this fall and summer. But I think there's a concerted effort by people like Taysom and Mitch Matthews and others to step forward and say, enough is enough of this crap. So those are the main observations I get from this team. The staffs and talking to them, they're probably about the same as I've seen them in years past. And I is both critical, but yet, you know, kind of confident in what he's creating out there. He's so lucky to have Taysom Hill on the field to save him and his play calling at times and his strategy as Taysom makes plays. Taysom's looking good. we just don't know if he's got the explosiveness to do what Taysom has done in the years past. Maybe he has. We don't know because he's not doing that. But the players told me, I talked to Kurt Henderson the other day, he got a nice touchdown pass from, I think, Taysom, and I think another pass, you know, scoring pass from Christian. And he was very, very confident that if a game were held next week, Taysom could play.
Dick Harmon from the Deseret News on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Dick, you've been around, you said, 41 years now covering BYU Cougars, and I wonder, how good is your intuition in the preseason on determining if this team is going to be a special team or not?
You know, I kind of err on the sides of being positive and optimistic because I see people working hard and trying hard and new talent coming in and being interjected. But this team's got its share of flaws. I mean, we need to see Jamal Williams back healthy. We need to see him on the field. I think that they're going to have a good running back core with him back. And Alzi Brown's having a great spring. And Adam Heaney's back. And the Carter kid has been very impressive. I mean, there's a core there to be very good. Taysom back, we all know what Taysom can do. This receiving core with Nick Kurtz, Devon Blackman, and Mitch Matthews, and Karen Houck, and that crew, they are capable, I think, of doing some special things. On the defensive side, I've got to break that down better. I've seen it's so hard to judge that defense because not all the people are out there. I do think if Bronco can step up and get his defense organized and playing at the level that he wants to, and we know what Bronco can do, that maybe they could have a special season. We didn't have that same kind of a defensive edge in the last year, and it showed. And it showed in losing some games that they should have won. So this schedule is intimidating. It's tough. It's a kind of a schedule where 7 wins might be a good season. 8 wins might be an exceptional season. 9 wins might be, wow, these guys have done something special. So in that way, I am cautiously optimistic. I'm not going to be a stone thrower at this stage. I got to see what they do in August and see what they do on their first road trip to Nebraska, and then we'll know a lot more. But they certainly have a long ways to go in some areas to improve themselves. Defensively, there's a lot of question marks there. I like Eric Tanaka from Snow College. I think he's brought a real strength to that defense. I think the offensive line needs to find 2 more bodies, maybe 3, that are consistently good, and that unit needs to play together. There's just a lot of room for growth, and some of that doesn't happen until you have, you know, hundreds of repetitions. One thing I will say, I do think that this strength coach, a lot of people don't realize, but the strength coach gets out there during the off season, and he can be with those players, and he can run semi-practices. He can run semi-design and plays and stuff and doing things out there. And this guy's got it. He's smart. He's energetic. He's involved. And so when you ask a question like that, you have to consider that there's got to be a lot of growth in the off-season. And I think some of the cogs and wheels are in place to have that happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does. And Dick, you pointed out, you highlighted a few things in that answer that I would like you to maybe expound a little bit more upon. And I wonder how much is Coach Mendenhall taking the reins back over going to impact this defense? I know that I've had my own insight about this, but from you watching that team last year, that defense, how much do you think things would have changed if Coach Mendenhall had his hand all year in that defense, that he was running that defense? Do you think it would have been different? Do you think it would have been the same? And then after that, how is he going to have that big of an impact on this defense going next year?
You know, I, not knowing the Janimals' feelings, I think that I can sense what those feelings would be, and they probably would be the same as mine. There were some injuries on that defense, and injuries can impact things. You put people in place that are not experienced and don't know things, and they're a little hesitant, so that can cost them. But last year I saw a defense that was not making progress quick enough and was not feeling accountable in some areas. I saw them not respond and fear in a positive way the things that they should do, and they let a lot of things slide. And I think if Bronco would have had total control of that defense, those little things like that would not have happened. Even with some inexperienced players, he would have made sure that the guys there were probably more prepared, more afraid, more scared, and more, it's kind of hard to describe. You get a certain personality in a leadership situation making demands, people respond. And you get other people in certain situations that make demands and people don't respond. And I think that's probably the best way I can describe it. Yes, I think if Bronco would have had control of that defense, they would have won two or three more games. And that's a stretch. I know me saying that, but I think they would have. I believe that the Central Florida game, I think that the Nevada game, I just think he would have made a difference in a couple of wins, definitely.
Bronco seems pretty happy during spring ball. He seems optimistic. But I want you to listen to the sound and tell me why Coach and I is not familiar with happiness.
Happy? That's a term that I really don't know much about.
He was talking about his offensive line. Have you ever seen Coach and I happy?
I've seen him happy, but he doesn't like to. He likes to be the curmudgeon. He likes to be the boil on the back. He likes to be the person who spoils the party because everybody's having fun, and he likes to come in and say, no, you can have more fun if you do this. And that's just the way it is.
Let's flip over to basketball. Chad Ford and Kevin Pelton were breaking down some mid-major prospects, and Kyle Collinsworth showed up on the list as a junior. He's a 23-year-old junior, but they mentioned that he is a sleeper candidate in the second round. Do you agree or disagree, and why?
Well, I agree in the sense that you cannot ignore six triple-doubles, one of them against Gonzaga. Almost got one against Mississippi State if he hadn't been in foul trouble. He could have had seven, maybe eight this year with a blink of an eye. So, no, I'm not really surprised by that. On the other hand, the guy has got to develop a threat from the outside, a shot beyond 20 feet. If he did that, I think that his stock would be right up there as a second-round draft pick. But I think that you can't ignore the triple-doubles. And then on the other hand, they can see something in him as a player that can do some things. He's got some extraordinary abilities underneath the basket and handling the ball and rebounding. And he's a tough kid, a tough player. He's very strong. He's strong with the ball when he brings it up. So there might be a role for him. But I would be surprised if he'd be a second-round pick, to tell you the truth, unless he can shoot from the outside. You just can't write that off and say, oh, maybe he's going to get better. He's got to get better.
Wow. Well, you may have just answered my question right there, but the next question I was going to ask you, Dick, is that in that same breakdown, they mentioned one of the knocks against Kyle is his age. And being a 24-year-old junior, do you think being a second-round pick is enough to entice Kyle Collinsworth to maybe leave school early and leave BYU and enter the draft?
I think if he has a written evaluation saying that there's a few teams that are interested in him as a second-round draft pick, then yes. I think he goes out. I think he does it. He doesn't look back. He takes what he can at that age. He's a guy not just at 24, but he's a guy with an ACL. And so he needs to take an opportunity if it's given to him. If he gets feedback from scouts that he's projected to do that, then he needs to take that opportunity, I believe. Don't you?
I think so, actually. Being that age and being 24, I think he's got to jump at it if he has the opportunity this year.
Hey, Janimal, I got to ask you, you asked me about Bronco. Was I any close to the feeling that you have about that situation? Because I haven't been able to hear what your theory is.
No, I'm with you, Dick. There's one of the things that I've said about Coach Mendenhall is Coach Mendenhall has it when it comes to be a defensive coordinator. And there are certain people that have it. There are certain people that don't. And nothing against Coach Howell, because I absolutely loved Coach Howell while I was there. I think he's an incredible coach and an incredible mind, hard worker. But Coach Mendenhall has it like only certain people do, and you can't replace it. And I think he would have made a huge difference, and he'll continue to make a big difference on the team this year. So I think I fall kind of right in line with what you think, too.
Dick Harmon has it.
I agree. Yes. I agree about Hal, and I agree about Broncos. So, yeah, thanks.
Dick, you're the man. Appreciate you joining us today from Houston. Enjoy your family time, and I hope you hit them long and straight when you bring your family members out to the range in Houston.
All right. Well, thanks, and appreciate you guys. And good, as always, good luck with your show. You're doing a great job, and I think a lot of people like to tune in to hear two experts, and you guys are that.
We got at least one expert. And then, you know, in Jan Jorgensen, and then there's me, just trying to keep it all together, keep it together.
Two of my Dick, favorite people.
Dick, you're the man. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
All right. Thank you. See ya.